Good evening, everyone. Wednesday, the 29th of April, our midweek Bible study from Scarver Street Presbyterian Church in Banbridge. We begin a series tonight and running for, I'm not sure how long it may be, in the book of Revelation, the last book of the scriptures. And when people come to this last book, usually they come with a sense of excitement or trepidation. Some people might say, I just can't understand a word of it. Others might say, well, let's have a go and try and work out what it means. Friends, it is an apocalyptic book. Apocalypse is the Greek word for revealing. And in the scriptures, when we come to something that is a mystery or something that is revealed, it is something that God makes plain. The very first chapter speaks of blessing to those who read the book. That's in verse 3. It's the only book in the Bible where there's a promise of blessing to those who read it. And it's to the one who reads it, not to particularly gifted people, people with high intellect or people who are well read. It's a promise to those who come through faith in Christ, trusting in him and trusting the help of the Holy Spirit, that together the people who make up God's church on earth may understand. Now, there is unity in the gospel, so there also is unity in a book like the book of the Revelation. Not a lot of varied, different predictions or interpretations. And so we want to look at this book and have a solid method of coming to seek to understand what it means. So friends, tonight it might be good if you had pen and paper. I will speak slowly because I want to try to give us an overview of this book, and you can no doubt play this back again if you want to fill in some of the gaps. But when we read the books of the Bible, we tend to, we need to understand the different writing genre, whether it's narrative, like the life story of Abraham, one scene leading on to the next, one chapter leading on to the next. It's a linear progression. It goes from one end to the other of his life. So as we read, we know we're moving in history. We're moving from place to place. There's a simple timeline progression. When we come to the Psalms, which is poetry and prose, we are not looking at history, we're looking at concepts and truths that God is revealing. In the parables, we have stories. In the prophetic writings of the Old Testament, there's a speaking into the world of that day, but also a foretelling of things that are to come. And when we come into the New Testament and look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're written in a linear fashion too, from beginning to end. And there's a historical progression of the life of Jesus through each of those. The Acts speaks of the early church and its mission and ministry and development. The epistles are what we call didactic books. They are teaching books as to how the church is to live and what the church, the people, are to understand. And then we have this book of Revelation. It's not linear like an historical narrative. And so we can't read Revelation from verse 1 in chapter 1 to the last verse of chapter 22 and see that this is moving from scene to scene in a historical or progressive way. That's not how Revelation is written. And maybe to make a simple example, when we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we don't read Matthew and then after we move into Mark say, oh, Jesus has come back a second time. And then we read on into Luke. Oh, he's come back a third time. We don't read the Gospels like that. We know that these are four accounts of the one happening. If you like four spokes going into the hub of a wheel. They speak of the same thing, but with different emphases. And so it's cyclical rather than linear when we put those four books together. When we think of Revelation, we don't think of a linear progression, we think of a cyclical progression. There are eight scenes in Revelation. Seven scenes that make up the bulk of the book, and then a last final scene, an eighth scene. And what I want to do tonight is just to go through those scenes, giving them a little title and a little bit of the content, so that when we come to do our studies, that we can see exactly where we are and how these scenes have been revealed to us. So if you have pen and paper, this may be a little bit laborious, but I hope it will be helpful. In the book of Revelation, there are 22 chapters. The introduction to the book is chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. And that gives us the relevance of the book. The first three verses give us the title. And then from verses 4 to 8, we have the greeting that comes to those who are going to read. So the introduction is a very simple section of the first 8 verses. Then we come to the first scene. And the first scene is from chapter 1, verse 9, until chapter 3, verse 22. This is scene 1. And it is really the church in God's world, because there are seven letters written to seven churches in that first century era. So the seven letters are dictated to the seven churches. And we begin to see a repeating in patterns here. There are seven letters, and seven is the number that occurs in every one of these scenes. So that's something very important to note. Seven, as we know, is the number of perfection. Six in the scriptures is the number of man. Seven, on the seventh day, God rested. He taking pride in the beauty, the perfection of his work of creation. And so seven is always the Bible number of perfection or completeness. And so in each of these sections, there's a perfect and a complete message. So scene one, the church in the world. And we find that firstly, the church is centered on Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, in verses 9 to 20. Of chapter 1. And then we find in the following verses from chapter 2 verse 1 to chapter 3 verse 22, we have seven different letters to seven churches in what was then called the Asia Minor area, or sort of North Greece, Turkey, that type of area. In the Mediterranean. First letter to the letter to Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. The second letter to Smyrna, S-M-Y-R-N-A. That's verses 8 to 11. The third letter to Pergamum, P-E-R-G-A. M-U-M, chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. The fourth letter to Thyatira, T-H-Y-A-T, T-I-R-A. Chapter 2, verses 18 to 29. The fifth letter to Sardis, S-A-R-D-I-S. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. The sixth letter, Philadelphia, P-H-I-L-A-D-E-L-P-H-I-A. Chapter 3, 7 to 13. And the seventh and final letter to Laodicea, L-A-O-D-I-C-E-A. Chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. Now, friends, it'll not all just be as quick moving as that, but you'll find the letters when you open up your Bible. You'll find the churches in those particular towns and cities in those first three chapters. That was scene one. Scene two, we move from the church in God's world to the suffering of the church. So in the second scene, we're dealing with how God defines and reveals the suffering of his people. So when we come to Revelation, and it's to be a blessing for everyone, the first scene reminds us that the church is centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In every generation, in every age, if we're not centered on Christ, then we are not being the church. So there is a message with a blessing, a potential blessing for everyone who reads. Focus on Christ. This is who you are if you're part of his church. And then God's people suffer. And every Christian will suffer in different ways. Some people suffer for long times. For some people, their suffering is intense. For some, it costs them their lives. So here in the second scene, God reveals something of the suffering of his church. So we have seven seals in this second scene, seven letters in the first scene, and we have seven seals in the second scene. These seven seals are opened. Scene two opens with creation centered on Christ. You see the progression? Scene one opened with the church centered upon Christ. So here we have a teaching about creation being centered on Christ, and that related in this section to the suffering of the church. There are again seven seals. The first seal speaks of conquest. That's chapter the scene opens with a creation centered on Christ, which is chapter 4, verse 1 to chapter 5, verse 14. So those two chapters speak of the whole of creation centering on Christ. And then we come to the seals in chapter 6 through to chapter 8, verse 1. The first seal in the first two verses of chapter 6 is to do with conquest. The second seal, verses 3 to 4, to do with strife. The third seal, verses 5 and 6, to do with scarcity. There's a lack. People are suffering because they don't have what they need. The fourth seal, verses 7 to 8, deals with death. The fifth seal, verses 9 to 11, deals with the suffering of God's witnesses, those who suffer because of their faith. And the sixth seal speaks of the that final cataclysm, that final destruction. Verses 12 to 17. And yet in all of this, the church is indestructible. And that's in verses 1 to 17 of chapter 7. Then there's the seventh seal, which is in chapter 8, verse 1, where there is a silence. Then we come to scene 3. We move from the creation centered on Christ in scene 2 to a warning for the world in scene 3. And just as we had seven letters and seven seals, we have seven more things in this third scene. And there's seven trumpets. And these seven trumpets sound. And it speaks of a sequence of events. The scene opens with God hearing his people's cry. Chapter 8, verses 2 to 6. And then there's the trumpet sounding. The first trumpet, the earth is stricken, verse 7. The second trumpet, the sea is stricken, verses 8 and 9. And the third trumpet, the rivers are stricken, verses 10 and 11. The fourth trumpet, the sky is stricken, verse 12. And then there's this call that the world and its people beware the remaining trumpets. In verse 13, the fifth trumpet is that of torment, chapter 9, verses 1 to 12. The sixth, that of destruction, chapter 9, 13 to 21. And then the meaning of the last trumpet is given to us in chapter 10, verses 1 to 7. And yet the world is unrepentant. And that's chapter 10, verses 8 to chapter 11, verse 14. And then there is this final seventh trumpet. And the world is no more. Chapter 11, verses 15 to 18. So scene 3 speaks of a warning for the world. Scene 4 begins in chapter 11, verse 19, and goes on to chapter 15, verse 4. And it's really the drama of history. And here there are seven more things. From seven trumpets in the last scene, we move to seven visions in this scene, scene 4, the drama of history. And they're visions of cosmic conflict. Scene 4 opens behind the veil, which is God's covenant. Chapter 11, verse 19. And we have the characters in chapter 12, verses 1 to 6. Then the plot. Chapter 12, verses 7 to 16. And then the prelude, chapter 12, verse 17. Then there's the first vision, the beast from the sea, in chapter 13, 1 to 10. The second vision is the beast from the earth, chapter 13, 10 to 17. Then we have the number of the beast, chapter 13, verse 18. Then there's the third vision, which is the Lamb and his followers, chapter 14, 1 to 5. The fourth vision is the angels of grace, the angels of predicting judgment, the angels who bring warnings. chapter 14, 6 to 13. Then there's the fifth vision, the final reaping, chapter 14, verses 14 to 20. The sixth vision is a preview of scene 5, the scene that is just about to unfold, chapter 15, verse 1. And then there's the final, the seventh vision, the song of victory, in chapter 15, 2 to 4. Then we come to scene 5, which moves from the drama of history, which was the scene 4, which followed scene 3, the warning for the world. Here we have in scene 5, the punishment of the world. So from warning to drama to punishment. And here we have seven more things to consider. From trumpets to visions in the last two scenes, we move to bowls. Seven bowls poured out. Scene 5 opens behind the veil. It's God's inescapable wrath. Scene 4 speaks of God's covenant, his grace, his mercy, his offer. Here we have God's inescapable wrath, his righteous anger in scene 5, chapter 15, 5 to chapter 16, 1. The first bowl, the earth is stricken. Chapter 16, verse 2. The second bowl, the sea stricken. Chapter 16, verse 3. The third bowl, the river stricken. Chapter 16, verses 4 to 7. The fourth bowl, the sky stricken. Chapter 16, 8 and 9. The fifth bowl speaks of torment. Chapter 16, 10 and 11. The sixth bowl, destruction, chapter 16, verses 12 to 16. And the seventh bowl, the world is no more, chapter 16, verses 17 to 21. Now, when you think of scene 5 and go back to scene 3, the warning for the world, the punishment for the world, we find the same things are spoken of. The earth, the sea, the rivers, the sky, torment, destruction, and the world is no more. So from warning to punishment, scene 3 to scene 5. Friends, we come into scene 6, which is Babylon the prostitute. From chapter 17, verse 1 to chapter 19, verse 10. And here we have seven more things. Not trumpets, not visions, not bowls, but we have seven words. Seven words of justice. And here we have symbols identified in this section. But scene 6 opens with the first word about Babylon, chapter 17, 1 to 6. The second word is the mystery of Babylon, chapter 17, verses 7 to 18. The third word is the fall of Babylon, chapter 18, 1 to 3. And the fourth word is the judgment of Babylon, chapter 18, 4 to 20. The fifth word is the death of Babylon, chapter 18, 21 to 24. The sixth word is a song of doom for Babylon, chapter 19, 1 to 5. And the seventh word, the successor of Babylon, chapter 19, 6 to 8. And then these are the true words of God, chapter 19, 9 and 10. Friends, just two more scenes to go. Scene 7, chapter 19, 11 to chapter 21, verse 8. And here we have the drama that is behind history. And so we're projected into a vision of ultimate reality, a reality greater than the reality we see round about us. And it speaks of the millennium. Scene 7 opens with the first vision, which is the vision of the captain of the armies of heaven, chapter 19, verses 11 to 16. The second vision, his victory is sure, chapter 19, 17 and 18. The third vision, his enemies are doomed, chapter 19, verses 19 to 21. The fourth vision is that of the devil, chapter 20, verses 1 to 3. The fifth vision, that of the church, chapter 20, verses 4 to 10. The sixth vision is the last judgment, chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. And the seventh vision, that of the age to come, chapter 21, verses 1 to 8. And then there's a final scene, an eighth scene. These first seven scenes make up this completeness of message. And then the final scene is a culmination of all that God has purposed to reveal, what his ultimate goal will be for his people. When the seven scenes are all played out, there is one final scene awaiting. Scene 8, chapter 21, verse 9, to chapter 22, verse 19. Scene 8 is Jerusalem, God's bride. Seven final revelations. Scene 8 opens in verse 9 of chapter 21. The first revelation is God's city, chapter 21, verses 10 to 21. The second revelation is God's dwelling, chapter 21, verses 22 to 27. The third revelation is God's world renewed, chapter 22, verses 1 to 5. The fourth revelation, God's word validated, declared true, chapter 22, verses 6 to 10. The fifth revelation, God's work completed, chapter 22, verses 11 to 15. The sixth revelation, God's final blessing, chapter 22, verses 16 and 17. And the seventh revelation, God's final curse, chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. As the book of Revelation begins with a little introduction, so it ends with a little epilogue. The last two verses. It speaks of the book we could do without and of the author's last word. That's chapter 22, verses 20 and 21. Friends, if you've managed to listen through this, having completed this introduction, maybe I should apologize to you. It's not so much a Bible study as a declaration of the layout of this book, how God has purposed to put it together and to note those seven scenes and then that final scene. To note seven as the significant number in each of these scenes, be they visions or trumpets or bowls. God has given us this cyclically natured book, and we need to understand how it's put together so that we can understand its content. So I hope, friends, that that has been helpful. And maybe if you can save this message, it means you can refer back to it, or maybe even just take a little time just writing out that brief description of each of the scenes, so that when we come to study them, you can see not only that scene, but that scene where it sits in connection with the other scenes. So we read them in parallel rather than reading them one after the other. It's not linear, it's cyclical. And that's what makes Revelation difficult for us to interpret and understand, because we tend to think of beginning to end rather than multitasking and holding things together. So friends, let's just come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, even as we have looked at the structure of this book. We see that it's not just a mass of verses, one following the other. But we bless you for the way you have purposed its structure, with seven scenes. And in each of these scenes, seven key events. And a final scene with a final seven revelations about the perfection of your kingdom and of your people. We thank you, Lord, that you promise blessing to us as we read this book. And we thank you that it is for everyone. First century Christians who would have had the privilege of reading it or having it read to them, and those down through the generations to our own day. And we thank you that your blessing for them 2,000 years ago is the same as your blessing for us today. And we know that there is no blessing without related understanding. And so we pray that you will help us to understand something of the beauty of this book. Lord, we thank you that you choose to inform our minds regarding your truth. But you also engage our imaginations, and with numbers and symbols, with different characters, with even different sounds and even smells depicted in this book. Lord, may you enable us to understand something more of your greatness, of your authority, of your absolute control in all things, and that in days which are uncertain, that we know that in God, our security, our destiny is eternally certain. Lord, hear our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, God willing, next Wednesday we'll have our first study going through some of the opening verses in Revelation. And although that maybe was a bit of a blast in your ear tonight. Like many things, when we break them down into twos and threes verses, we can see something more clearly of what God is saying to us. So please persevere, and I trust you'll find this series rewarding. God willing, we'll speak with you next week.